Morning, everyone. Is the microphone working? Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
Good morning, and all of you. Welcome to the board meeting of Metro. I'd like to call this meeting to order and mention up front that board member Keturah Hartley will be participating by phone. And Kathy, is the microphone not working? How could the microphone not work? Don, can you hear me now? No. How about now? Better? Okay. Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Metro Board meeting. I'd like to say up front that Keturah Hartley, who is the Maryland representative, will be participating by telephone, and that Kathy Porter will be serving as the voting member for Maryland in the absence of Michael Goldman. So the first order of business is the approval of the agenda. So I would like to move the approval of the agenda with two changes. First, I would like to move the employee spotlight to the top of the agenda following the approval of the minutes. And secondly, I would like to pull from the consent agenda the approval of indemnification of Union Station Redevelopment Corporation and Amtrak. The reason being the District of Columbia needs more time to analyze that particular item. So I'd like to move the agenda with those two changes. Is there a second? Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for September 28, 2017 board meeting, the September 28, 2017 executive session, the October 12, 2017 executive session. So I'd like to move approval of these minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the employee spotlight. Mr. Wiederfeld.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Last month on the evening of Tuesday, September 26, Metro bus operator Stephen Woodley was driving the W1 route in the 4300 block of Martin Luther King Avenue in Southwest. Around 5 p.m., Mr. Woodley stopped his bus, and a woman with two children boarded and walked towards the rear. As Mr. Woodley pulled away from the stop, the woman returned to the front and confronted him about pulling off before she was seated. Mr. Woodley told her that it was unintentional. He did not realize that she had not been seated. The rider unfortunately became very disorderly and yelled obscenities at Mr. Woodley. As Mr. Woodley continued on his route, moving through traffic, the rider sprayed him in the face with an orange liquid. He acted quickly and pulled the bus out of traffic and safely secured it. The woman immediately left the scene. She was apprehended a block away, but attempted to flee from the officers before being arrested. Thankfully, the liquid turned out to be Sunny Delight beverage, but that does not diminish the risk it posed to the operator, every passenger on the bus, as well as those surrounding vehicles and pedestrians. As you can imagine, being sprayed with an unknown substance can cause panic and impair your ability to safely maneuver a vehicle. Thankfully, Mr. Woodley was able to overcome that and safely park his bus. Today, as we thank bus operator Woodley, who not only remained calm and maintained his composure, but also avoided an accident and prevented injury to his customers. We appreciate your quick actions and the courage you displayed while safely transporting customers. Please join me and accept your recognition.
Next item on the agenda is our public comment. And so let me say up front, again, we have a very long and busy agenda. every person speaking to the board is allocated 2 minutes. You see the two-minute thing there, two-minute thing over here. So please adjust your comments as you're waiting to stay within the 2 minutes. So at 2 minutes, I will have to cut you off, and I don't like doing that, but I will have to cut you off and then move on to the next witness. We have a long list. It's not fair to the people at the end of the list if people at the beginning of the list take more than their allocated time. So we will begin with Mr. Michael Bell. Mr. Bell?
Would you mind using a mic?
Yeah, pull the mic up to you a little bit. There you go. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
How about that?
There you go.
All right. The day I bought the paperwork, I want the general manager to have. This paperwork is from Mary Fleming, and it states that I don't get any money because myself and a lawyer signed some papers. Well, I haven't signed anything, sir, and the law states that you must give me a copy of my workman's compensation files, which will show how much money I was paid. I haven't received anything. So I want the general manager to have these papers.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bell. Here we go.
Okay. And I'm asking you, sir, to read this, and if possible, could you give me my files and money today? I have some more papers, same thing. This is for the board members. I want y'all to read it, pass it around. Mind, sir? And I have some more paperwork. This is for the media. Nobody wants to put my story out. I've been in here arguing about this for over 30 years. I'm the one that had the two surgeries. You took my job, everything. Please give me my money and my files. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Bell. Our next witness is Mr. Michael Goulash. Mr. Goulash?
Goulash.
Welcome to the Metro Board.
Right. It's very disheartening to me, who's been a Metro employee, now retired, for the last 40 years, to see the tremendous amount of infighting that's going on the board. We have tremendous issues that we have to deal with effectively, and to just fight over who's going to be chairman of the board, who's going to have this role, who's going to have that role, is, my view, needs to be avoided. We have three main issues that we need to deal with. One is the safety of our riding public and the safety of the drivers and mechanics that operate the buses. I don't think that's being adequately dealt with. We can see the rising numbers of assault that's going on, and that's got to be dealt with. Second is the issue of dedicated funding. How can we get dedicated funding, which is absolutely necessary for the future of this company, if we're just fighting among ourselves and not really putting the full force of this board behind that demand? And the third is the question of our contract between Local 689 and WMATA. Those of us who've worked here for a long time created this contract. We got benefits that have been fought for over the last 40 years. It's disrespectful of us to try and take away those benefits for the next generation of workers. So we need to back off on that. The general manager needs to meet with the president of the union, like I met with Dan Tagliolini when he was general manager, and resolve some of these issues, settle this contract so we can get working on the issues of dedicated funding and the safety of our drivers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Bill Orleans. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Yes, and welcome back. I've said in the past that it's my belief that anytime anybody makes a request for information during public comment, it should be considered the equivalent of a PARP request. I've asked last month for information about the award of contract with regard to a Maryland Abilities ride, and neither staff nor the board has responded to me with regard to that request. I'm making the request again. In September, it was announced, there were two awardees announced. In mid-September, service, provision of service began. It may be too soon, being only a little more than a month, to have numbers relative to the provision of that service and the, that contract. I wouldn't think so, but it may be too early. But notwithstanding that, the award of contract would have been of, as a result of the respondents to the initial RFP, some preliminary weeding out of some of those respondents, narrowing it down to a few potential awardees, and then further discussions with those potential awardees, and further negotiations with those awardees, and the final two awardees were selected and then announced and are now providing service, although we have no idea how well they're providing service. I think it's entirely appropriate, since those two awardees are dealing with a public agency, they bid on a public contract, that that award of contract be made public, so that, among other things, we can determine whether those awardees are viable providers of the service that they've been awarded WMATA money, public money, to operate. So I'm restating my request. I consider this a PARP request. I'd like to see a hard copy of the award of contract with regard to a Maryland Abilities Ride. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Heidi Case. Okay, welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here to talk about accessibility and the service that is federally mandated for people with disabilities. As you know, and your goals is to get less trips on Metro Access and onto cheaper alternatives, which is in the best interest of everyone. For the last, since 2014, you have given discounts to DC in how much they pay Metro Access for providing the Transport DC program. In 2018 and 2017, there has been a different MOU, and we didn't get credit for every trip. And that has brought cuts to Transport DC. For the last 2 years, in 2018, you budgeted, you give DC a $5 million credit for having Transport DC, and the DC mayor cuts the program and only provides $4 million towards the Transport DC program. Last I knew, Metro doesn't have $1 million to allow to be thrown down the drain for DC to use however they want. Hold them accountable. ADA program and planning people show up at Transport DC meetings. These are facts. Martin DeCaro has put them in NPR reports. This isn't what I'm making up. We don't get the service. 2017, they cut the service to medical and work only. And by in July. And by September, everybody goes back on Metro Access. The trip numbers went so high. In September 2017, the on-time performance dropped 10%. You're not making sense. You say accessibility, you say you want to save money, and your policy and your staff do not enforce that, Mr. Whitefield.
Okay.
ADA program and planning is a place where accessibility goes to die.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Case. Thank
no transportation, no peace. No transportation, no peace. No transportation, no peace. No transportation, no peace. If you'd like them to be quiet, you can let me finish. They'll be quiet if you let me finish.
Ms. Case, your time is up. I'm sorry. You have to stop. Your time is up.
Transportation.
Thank you. All right. Our next witness is Tracy Smith. Our next witness is Tracy Smith. Tracy Smith. Is Ms. Smith here? Tracy Smith. Okay. Welcome to the Metro Board, Ms. Smith.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am Tracy Smith, Western Division Bus Operator and Shop Steward Executive Board Member with ATU Local 689. I'm here today to say to this board, Mr. Wiederfield, and MTPD that enough is enough. The assault on Metro bus operators must stop. There has been a sharp rise in operator assaults, and the level of violence is increasing with each attack. Are we going to wait until one of our operators is killed before the problem is addressed? This union has presented many possible solutions, such as relocation of the fare box, changing the fare media whereas customers pay the fare prior to boarding the Metro buses, more MTPD presence, etc. WMATA and this board has been very lackadaisical in its response to operator assaults. It requires much more action than a simple memo to operators telling them simply not to quote the fare. Your talk has been very cheap, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Wiederfield. The time is not now, but right now, for WMATA and this board to stop talking and start acting. Start working with this union and local jurisdictions so that myself and my fellow operators can return home at the end of each shift untouched and unharmed. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Barry Wilson. Welcome to the Metro Board, Mr. Wilson. Oh, not Mr. Wilson. Okay. Here's Mr. Wilson. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to start by saying I'm an 18-year operator here at WMATA. And I just want to let everyone know the morale amongst employees since I've been here is at an all-time low. For years, we've been crying for help and safety, safer conditions while we out here actually providing service to get the riding passengers to and from their destination safely. There are many things that I can sit here and address and complain about that happened in the past, but one thing I want to shed a light on is the 18,000 series buses that we have over there in Shepherd Park. Now, for years, at least over about 2 years, WMATA had knowledge that these buses were actually losing power and actually putting the operators in a bad condition in an unsafe environment. It wasn't until an operator had an accident with passengers on a bus where the bus lost complete power and the operator had to steer the bus into the Jersey wall in order to get it to stop. And since that accident, WMATA still have failed to notify all its employees of the nature of the danger that operator faced and the dangers that we face out there operating those buses. Since then, WMATA has moved that fleet out of service. Wow, that's good. But guess who they use to remove that fleet? They use mechanics and other operators to transport that bus, knowing that that bus was damn unsafe. They should have towed those buses to locations. If it's not safe for operators, not safe for anybody working here at WMATA, they still, instead of really fixing the issue, they try to band-aid and pacify a certain situation. Most of the fare invasions and assaults that we've been having here against WMATA employees have been a fare box dispute. Most of the disputes. If it wasn't about that fare box, we wouldn't be getting half of the assaults that we've been getting into. But WMATA put out NTOs stating that we no longer have to quote the fare to the passengers. So if that's the case, and since then, we still having assaults, remove that fare box and put it somewhere else where it's not in the vicinity of the operator so we can do our job safely and get passengers to and from their destination safe. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Duran Jackson. Welcome to the Metro Board meeting.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am a member of ATU Local 689, an employee of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, standing in solidarity with my union on our immediate expectations of action from Metro on transit worker assaults. We have no confidence in the WMATA board, none, to hold the general manager accountable and address our safety concerns. However, we are calling on them again to implement the following. These issues are an urgent matter that Metro must address immediately. Should Metro continue its inaction, on assaults of my union brothers and sisters, I am prepared to stand down for the safety of myself, my co-workers, and the riding public. In love and memory of our local 689 brothers and sisters killed on the job. Matthew Brooks, track walker, December 7th, 2006. Doug Callens, train operator, January 17th, 1996. Dorothy V. Chappelle, November 26th, 1963. Leslie Cherry, track walker, November 30th, 2006. Keith Dodson, bus operator, October 25th, 2007. Jeffrey Garrard, ATC technician, January 26th, 2010. Carl Hale, February 15th, 1989. Zhang Lee, ATC technician, May 14th, 2006. Michael McKenna, track mechanic, February 12th, 1985. Janice McMillan, train operator, September 14th, 2009. John Moore, ATC technician, January 26th, 2010.
Mr. Jackson, I have to stop because you've run out of time. But
okay, I need to finish this. Michael Nash,
Mr. Jackson,
equipment,
really,
and he's not going to snatch the mic from me like he snatched the mic from that young lady right there. No. That's not going to happen. Michael McKenna, track mechanic, February
12,
1985.
Mr. Jackson.
Janice McMillan, train operator, September 14, 2009. John Moore, ATC technician, January 26, 2010. Michael Nash, equipment mechanic, August 9, 2009.
No.
Sun O, ATC technician, January 26, 2010.
Mr. Jackson,
John Talon,
I have to ask you to stop. You know,
almost done. Best operator, May
17th,
1968. Michael Waldron, track structure repair mechanic, October 15th, 2005. And last but not least, Thomasina Smith, bus operator from Montgomery Division. Y'all really need to get your act together.
Mr. Jackson, please. And I. And I want to say this to everyone here. We have a two-minute rule for a reason. And everyone who violates that rule violates it on behalf of everyone in the room, not just the board, not just Metro. Everyone in the room. And we have a rule for a reason. I respect all of you. I walk around, I talk to you, I shake your hand. This board respects all of you. And yet, you don't provide that respect to this meeting. So I'm not interested in engaging in a discussion. Now, I'll talk to you all after the board meeting. I'd be happy to meet with all of you. But I'm asking you today, at this point, to please stay within the two-minute time period. So we will move on to the next, to Jack Bonthong. Bonthong.
Good morning. Jack Bonthong, WMATA rank and file member, ATC Automatic Train Control. Imagine you hear a big explosion riding from the train from Roslyn to Foggy Bottom during morning rush. Imagine the train 1 mile from either station under the Potomac River. Imagine the train full of smoke. Imagine train goes dark and panic ensues. It sounds very scary, but every day there's the potential for this situation to happen to anyone. I wanted to talk to you about the 7,000 Kawasaki rail cars and the safety issues. Every day we hear about safety delays, fire and smoke caused by arcing insulators, signal problems caused by bottom track circuits and loss of shunt. No current and no dynamic propulsion causes fatal top-to-bottom component damage and depleting the redundant safety grounding system protection, leading to an unforeseen, potentially life-threatening consequence. This is absurd and disturbing. SafeTrack, back to good, world-class transit system, it's all propaganda. the WMATA Board of Management's pipe dream. If you want to understand how WMATA safety is doing on the rails, you need to look at the reported safety delay figures. If we want to bring the safety delay rates down, it won't be because of social media blasts, but WMATA's PR, or the nonsense you hear from WMATA's management, for example, sharing the sacrifice. It will be because WMATA agrees to let the labor workforce become part of WMATA. It starts with WMATA changing their habits. Does it take the news outlets to cover a story before WMATA addresses the issue? Fire and smoke caused by tweaking and beefing up the current model structure instead of omitting failures from the top down and purchasing the 7,000 series trains. To compensate for top-down incompetence, WMATA is dangerously tinkering on the edge of catastrophe. Revising the propulsion algorithms to trip at higher thresholds, beefing up power infrastructure, substation, breakers to handle the current draw of the 7,000 trains. Repeatedly replacing safety critical ground brushes instead of instrumenting the train and finding the root cause of the problem.
Mr. Balanthong, your time is up. So thank you very much, and you can submit your comments for the record.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Zuri Teixeira. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning, board members, everyone present. When I found out I was addressing the board, I stayed up damn near all night trying to write a prolific speech. And I thought I had one until I started rereading it this morning. And I realized that everything I was going to say in that speech is something that's been said to this board day in, day out, year after year, month after month. And to come in here and even have to say it one more time is pointless to me, because now I know for a fact you don't care. The management don't care. The board of directors, this entire board don't care, except for maybe a few. Right now, we can't even get no respect to read off the name of the dead employees, union members that passed away. Out here because of unsafe act because of our management. Continuous management that rotates out every day, every time they come in, get their money, leave, while I got to continue working here and you attack my benefits, attack my safety, attack whatever we say is nonsense because we don't have a seat at this board. Every single time we come in here, it's a waste of time. And right now, I feel like I'm wasting my time because usually I'd find somebody right now, I'd be looking around, and I see somebody on their phone because why? They're just union members. They're just crying because, oh, they see an unsafe act in the workplace. They're unimportant. Nothing they say takes no relevance, no precedence, no nothing. So I'll have them work on trains that's potentially hot, and I'm not going to report it to anybody until somebody actually gets shocked and I'm forced to do the paperwork on it. Hey, but that's the atmosphere, right? That's safety culture. That's transparency. Transparency is when something happened in one division and the management covered it up so that it don't get out to the public or get out to the other divisions so that they could stand down and know what was going on. That's Metro's current safety culture right here. That's the transparency that we're dealing with. I don't need 2 minutes to tell you that I know that you don't care. I can see it when I step in here.
Okay, the next witness is Anthony Garland. Anthony Garland. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Morning.
Good morning.
For the record, WMATA has received federal funding to complete assets inventories. Does anyone on the board know what the results are? What are the conditions of the assets management systems to assure internal and external securities? What are the results for proper archiving and reduced data risk, which can and will affect safety management systems? WMATA needs a comprehensive management system design to manage safety elements in the workplace. This is a business plan to a responsible safety culture from the top down. Currently, this is a pay-as-you-go daily operation. Make it through the day and pray that there are no catastrophic incidents. But the stars will align again like they did in 2009. If we don't intercede and change course by confronting current safety challenges, the list of falling 689 members on the back of the pledge cards will grow. WMATA needs to be proactive, think outside of the box, and be more innovative in its approach to safety, not reactive. The systemic safety failures throughout Metro over the years have been well documented by federal agencies. inclusion, transparency, and a comprehensive safety business plan from the top down is reflective of the needs here in WMATA. We expect this board, no, we demand that this board, as stakeholders in the region, to be more responsible and accountable for its actions in safety and addressing current safety dysfunctions. If these safety matters are not met or addressed soon, this local and its members has no alternative than to stand down. That's not a threat, that's not a warning, but we will protect our members. Okay.
Jackie Jeter. Welcome to the Metro Board.
I am Jackie Jeter, president of ATU Local 689. First, I'd like to say I started off, like Zuri said, with a written speech, but I want to say two things. One, this board can change any rule that it wants to, and the rule of allowing the public to speak to you for 2 minutes should be changed, and you can do that. You all hold the power in your hand. As a Metro worker, we see rules changed daily, rules that you all approve. So I know that you can do that now. Speaking to you is something that the public and the workers will continue to do. And relegating us to 2 minutes is not going to work. At WMATA, we always say that WMATA means we meet and talk a lot. We have talked about safety. We have talked about what needs to be done. We have talked about the changes that need to take place. I just heard the safety officer telling you all the cool things that we've talked about. Talking about them have not saved our workers. Talking about them have not saved our members. And so we are finished talking. We are finished asking you to listen to us. I can tell you this, every single person sitting here looking in my eyes right now, we are citizens, we're not only workers. As a matter of fact, you all work for us. We don't work for you. When you sit in this seat, you are elected officials that represent us on the Metro Board. We expect to be represented. We will not ask you anymore to listen to our cries. We expect them to be listened to. And you can have your 7 seconds. I don't need them.
Okay. Kim Bellamy. Kim Bellamy.
These cards right here, these are pledge cards from all our members. The members who couldn't make it, let them know that we all stand in solidarity.
Okay.
689.
Is Kim Bellamy here? No? I'm sorry?
There you go.
Hello. Board member.
Good morning.
My name is Kim Bellamy, and I represent the National Federation of Blind and Women with Disabilities. I would like to ask y'all, dealing with the Metro Access, to give each and every one of you a number for Metro Access number, and y'all ride in my shoes every day. I live down two blocks down the street. I end up in Clinton, Maryland, from Mount Rainier, Maryland. I live in Northeast. I go to pharmacies. I stay there for 4 or 5 hours waiting on Metro Access. Who do the mapping? Hire me. But please, put yourself in my shoes. Try. Let me walk around and give each one of y'all a number. And you have to call a number to say you need to go 2 blocks up the street. And they have to sit there for 2 hours. And find out where $1 million going for Transport DC? I really appreciate it. But it don't seem like y'all listening to no one in here. So I don't need 2 minutes either.
Thomas Mangrum.
Is that Thomas Mangrum? No. Thomas Mangrum?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. Where are you?
He's in the wheelchair.
Right. Okay, here you can roll up if you want to get a better view.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I'm Thomas Mangrum. I'm president of Project Action. And with Project Action group, we go to a lot of meetings, and I'm part of a lot of boards and whatnot. We need Transport DC because Metro Access is a good service, but it's not working as well as people that need to use it to go from meeting to meeting to meeting. You see, so today I got several meetings to go to today. And Transport DC enables me to be able to meet the meetings and go places that I can't meet on Metro Access. Because you got to be there for an hour once you get there, and then you got to wait 30 more minutes for transportation to pick you up. So that's kind of hard to set all your trips for Metro Access when you got to go from place to place. So please fund Metro Transport DC for us to be able to use. And we should be able to use it all year round without any penalties, because a lot of us, we need it. And you know, my Metro Access do not work that well. Keep people waiting longer than they should wait. And when you deal with the blind and people in wheelchairs, standing somewhere for a long period of time, you set us up for predators to prey upon us. So we need guaranteed transportation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Melvin Larker. Okay. Okay, welcome to the Metro Board, Mr. Larker.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Melvin Nathaniel Larker, Jr. I'm a member of the NFB as well. And a couple of things I want to talk about is the service between Metro Access compared to Transport DC. Now, when you all look at me, you all may see a blind man. I'm more than that. I'm a knowledgeable man, a smart blind man. And when I go out here every day, I go out here. I wasn't born blind. I inherited this. And I only became blind at 38 years old. And then I have to change my life around to do new things. So in order for me to do that, I have to go to businesses, government buildings. I went to RSA. I left my home in a cab. I went to RSA for services, for DDS, Department of Disability Services. And when I got there, the cab service was cut off while I was there. While I was there, I had no way to get home. No way at all. And then I have to use Metro Access to go to these places. I go to the Center for Independent Living for classes, Braille, computer, smartphone, mobility, and I also go to Anchor Mental Health Facility for counseling classes. But I cannot use the cab to get to those places. I have to use Metro Access, and I cannot use Metro Access to get there because they never get me there on time. I get picked up 3 hours early just to get there 2 hours late. And I'm tired of riding with Metro Access. I need the cab service and use Metro Access when I feel like it. I have a choice. Where's my choice? You all are taking that choice away from me. Find out what happened to that $1 million. Ask the mayor. Ask her what happened to that money. Ask her. I'm tired of using Metro Access. Bring back Transport DC. And I don't need the rest of your time either.
Okay, Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson. Okay. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Michael Johnson. I'm calling about the cab, too.
Transport DC. And because for one thing, I just became blind, and I didn't care for metro access. I don't care for the metro bus, and I really don't care for the DC cab. But I have no choice now that I have to use that, and I'm just learning to advocate for myself to get around. I just used to come blind, and I used to drive, and I can't drive anymore, so I got to depend on places like Melvin said. I go to different classes every day because I had to change my lifestyle around for driving. And see, when you get on the bus and you have a cane in your hand and they have carts and stuff all on the bus, I don't know why you can't get through, and they won't get up out the seats where they say it's a handicap. And people won't get up, and the bus driver won't ask the people to get up for you. So you had to stand up, and you running around falling on everybody. So I don't catch the bus. I can't go downstairs in the subway no more because I can't see. It's dark down there. There's no lighting and stuff like that. So that's another situation that I have. So I'm just saying that we need the DC cab to come back to where we can go, where we have to go. I have to go to Braille class tomorrow, iPhone class tomorrow. I have to go to my doctor for my knee doctor for my disability and stuff like that. I just don't know what to say about it. You need to find that money, like they said, and try to get that cabs back. That's what
okay.
I have to say.
Thank you very much. Okay. Nettie Briscoe. Nettie Briscoe. Nettie Briscoe. Okay.
The buses don't even now streets.
Okay, welcome to the Metro Board.
Yes, doesn't work. I'm going to remove my hat because I want you to see my gray hair. I'm a 74-year-old mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. Yeah. I am blind. I have been reduced to using metro access. I go to independent living four times a week. I had a pickup time one Thursday between 2:45 and 3:15. At 6:15, we were still calling Metro Access. The center closes at 5 o'clock. Would you want your mother standing out on Florida Avenue, 14th and Florida Avenue, at night by herself? One of the counselors at the center was nice enough to keep the center open until Metro Access finally decided to come and get me. It's awful to be stranded and not know where or how you're going to get home. I took a class in Silver Spring. I live in Southeast. I was at DuPont Circle 3 hours later, and he was still picking up and dropping off people. And I was crying, and I called. One good thing I can say about Metro Access, you train your people to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They're real good at that, but they're not good on delivery. The cab was the best thing that could have happened because they come and get you. You don't need but 30 minutes notice. Suppose I had I fell at the center one day, and they had to call an ambulance to take me to the hospital.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Briscoe. Thank you. Okay, our next witness is Ketchiku Onyelonia. If I mispronounced that, I'm sorry, but better known as K.O. Yep. I thought that was who was coming up. All right. I'll spell it. K-E-T-E-C-H-U-K-W-U. Last name O-N-Y-E-L-O-N-U. He's gone? Okay. Our last witness is Michael Sindrum. Michael here? I don't see Michael.
Yes?
You
want to speak today?
You have 2 minutes.
I don't think you want to count. Term limits.
Welcome to the Metro Board.
Union President Jeter, you know, you made mention about 2 minutes. It used to be 2 minutes every 3 months. I made noise. I said, let's get it too. At the council, we need term limits. At least you can speak 3 minutes, organization five. They don't want to hear from us. You know, they say respect. This is disrespectful. And you need to go, all of you, every single one of you, with the quickness, all right? This gets old. Because meeting in and meeting out, I come back with the same issues, and it falls on 10 ears. Ms. Hudgens, I wrote to you in 2011. It's 2017. I haven't heard a word. Theft. Where, you know, Harriet Beecher Stowe has Uncle Tom's cabin. Uncle Tom? Metro Transit has Uncle Ron, right? He's the go-to guy, the Metro Transit chief. We had the fair hearing, which you wouldn't let me speak, right? And Pavlock, in his audacity, follow the law. But he's above the law. He could put a block on my phone, right? I'm a disabled veteran, served our country more than most. This has become a communist entity, and this is the closest thing to it. You all need to go with the quickness. Yeah, shake your head. Who took the train today? Oh, amazing. I didn't see any of you. Right. Good. The block on my phone needs to be lifted. Mr. Kent, you know about that. All right? Ms. Lou, we're general counsel over here. Ramon invites litigation. Okay? I was falsely arrested coming into a meeting way back, what was it, April of last year. I wrote to Uncle Ron. I haven't heard a word, and I've not been made whole. And last but not least, Metro is strapped for cash. Right? One time you said we're awash in cash. Come on, that's farther from the truth. But the bottom line is, Ramada is giving away priceless property on Salem Road. Sentinel, where you at? Why isn't there covering the story? Giving the property away on Salem Road and putting businesses out of business. This is
madness. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Sindrum.
No, you don't want to thank me. You all need to go with the quickness. And we need 5 minutes for an organization.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sindrum.
No, you're not thankful.
The next item on the agenda. Next item on the agenda is a report by the Accessory Advisory Committee, Mr. Posner. Mr. Posner. Welcome to Metro Board Meeting.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is still good morning.
It is.
I'd like to remind everybody that October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month, and all of the speakers you've heard before you are really relevant to that, because you can't have employment unless you have good transportation. The Accessible Advisory Committee's motto is SAS, safe, accessible, and sustainable. And that's the key. You have to have all three things. This month we had our elections, and I'd like to introduce the new leadership team, which is me. Ms. Rush, who you recognize as our first vice chair. Elver Ariza Silva, who unfortunately can't be here today because he's following a trend of our leadership team of having suffered a fall and is recovering, but Elver's okay. He'll be back and doing things. And we created a new position, which is similar to the board, which is our immediate past chair, which is sort of a misnomer since our immediately past chair had been the chair for 22 years, Patrick Sheehan. And so Sheehan will be staying with us in an advisory role, and we will be sharing the load of attending your subcommittee meetings, reporting board, attending our own subcommittee meetings, and having Mr. Sheehan continue to be our RAC representative, where I will be going also. So that's our new group. We're looking forward to working with you. October was a great month. You've heard a lot about DC Cal. And one of the things that's important for sustainability is to having some alternatives to Metro Access, to share the load, give a parallel transport system. And in October, WMATA helped launch Abilities Ride for the state of Maryland. The ride started out, and our committee, along with our representatives from Maryland, Ms. Rush, Paul Semelford, who chairs our Metro Access Subcommittee, and Mr. Sheehan are working with Christian Blake to monitor how that's working out. And we're going to follow it in comparison to DC CAP, which is another new system that rolled out 2 years ago, and see how it's working. In addition to that, we're going to compare it to the STAR system in Arlington, which has been around for a much longer time. And some of the things you hear in complaints for service and what have you is across the line. And it has been addressed and made better. And one of the things, I know I've spoken to Mr. Augustine about this, is we'd be delighted to have our Maryland representatives on the AAC meet with the Maryland representatives of the board at any time to discuss what's happening with Abilities Ride, so that we can let you know what's happening, what's good, what's bad, what's indifferent, and see how we can work out for solutions. Accessibilities Ride. Our work with the RAC last month at the RAC looked at the 7,000 series cars and wanted to take a look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. Two of the suggestions that we had are actually safety issues. If you took the regular Metro today and didn't ride a 7,000, I'm sure you got onto the center doors and noted that wonderful sign that says, no bicycles at the center doors. Those of you that rode the 7,000s, did any of you see that sign? It's not there. What they've done on the 7,000s is they put that sign on the outside, right side, lower part of the train, and it's beautiful. It fits right in a way that you can't see it. And so when somebody comes on board with a bicycle and someone says, gee, you know, you shouldn't really be there in the center of the car, they say, why? It doesn't say that anywhere. The only thing you can do is ask them to step outside and look at the outside of the car. The other thing that we've noticed on the 7,000 series cars is the parking spaces for the wheelchairs and accessible vehicles are directly below the intercom and the emergency release for the center doors. We're suggesting that there be a switch so that you move those parking spaces across to where priority seating is located so that people will have access to the intercom and access in an emergency to opening the doors without having to climb over an accessibility vehicle. And it may be difficult to do immediately on the current cars, but certainly on the new cars, that's something that can be implemented. The other thing that we spoke with was the WMATA Trip Planner, and we're working with them in order to make that better and reusable for the entire community, not just ours. And then finally, we had a report from Mr. Hemry on the Metro bus state of good repair, and that's a terrific thing that happens. And one of the things that we brought up was changes in bus routes are critical to people with disabilities, and what has happened in the past, and we hope will continue, that investigation of people using Metro Access in areas that might be affected by changing bus routes will be taken into consideration before these are done. One of the things that has happened is there's been a reduction in the number of public hearings, which we'd like to see changed so that people with disabilities, older communities, can actually come to multiple hearings in the jurisdictions rather than having only one shot coming down. We know you're doing local meetups at stations. We know you're doing online stuff, but older folks like me and people with disabilities, one, usually use the elevators, and people are wandering at the escalators to get input, and we also aren't as literate to email and online activities. So thank you very much, and I'm sorry I went over, but I think these are some important issues. Any questions?
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Posner? I see anybody? No? Okay, Mr. Posner, thank you very much. Okay, our next report is by the Riders Advisory Council, Mr. Fogel. Mr. Fogel from the Riders Advisory Committee.
Stand up.
The Riders Advisory Council, Mr. Fogel. Mr. Fogel? Where is he? Mr. Fogel? Welcome to the Metro Board.
Yeah, my name is Bob Fogel. I'm vice chair of the RAC. And today I am substituting for our chair, Catherine Cortram, who is out of the country on business. The first thing I'd like to say is I appreciate all the board members who have attended the RAC member meetings. That's been extremely helpful. It's a way for us to find out what's on your mind, the issues that you're interested in, and for you to hear our views. You appoint us. We serve at your pleasure. We are responsible to the board, and this is one of the best ways for us to be more successful. Now to the report. On Tuesday, October 3rd, several members of the RAC met with residents of Victory Square Apartments located near Minnesota Avenue. The residents were concerned about upcoming bus route changes that might eliminate their access to a convenient bus stop. During the full RAC meeting on Wednesday, October 4th, board member Augustine met with us. He took a number of questions from RAC members, including several about future funding. And Mr. Augustine made it clear that that's funding is a priority for him, and that he is also interested in having feedback from the riding public on how things are going in the sort of the post-safe track era. Lynn Bowersox of the Metro staff also spoke with us. She's provided more information about both the PREA and WMATA public outreach plan that de-emphasized public hearings and put increased importance on online surveys and outreach and community events. She also asked for feedback of the new series 7000 trains. Some of the feedback she received are adding more info in the video screens, including time, which would help the deaf, more rail car numbers higher so they're more easily seen in a crowded car for emergencies. And I can only add to that, I feel that way too. When a car is full and the train numbers are at low level and there's an emergency and you want to call in and report that problem, you cannot see the car numbers. It should be as high as possible and be visible. I mean, it's a small change, but I think it would increase the likelihood of better safety for the riders. Consider making more announcements in multiple languages, add armrests on the first priority seats, make emergency buttons consistent regarding push and release or push and hold talk. I think throughout the system, some are push and hold, some are push and release. People don't always know which or what, and even if the instructions are there. They use it in an emergency. If we could have some consistency there, that would be helpful. And shorten the verbal announcements so the entire announcements can be heard while the doors are open. Our RAC committees have been very active. The Budget Committee had held a conversation with Nina Albert, Director of Real Estate and Station Planning, about retail opportunities and WMATA properties. The committee is developing a survey about rider retail preferences. The Customer Service Committee is still waiting to hear from feedback from WMATA on their current communications policy and procedures. They plan to work with their counterparts on the WMATA board to compare priorities. The Programs, Projects, and Planning Committee continues to publicize RAC activities through a variety of channels, and the Safety Committee met with their counterparts on the WMATA board and had a good discussion. That completes Catherine's report. We appreciate you're listening to us and taking our views, and I would be happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Thank you, Mr. Fogel. Any questions for Mr. Fogel? Yeah, Tom.
Thank you, Bob, for a fine report. It's interesting to hear these, you know, measured reports. What's your committee seeing on the street in terms of customer service? What do you think? What's going on?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is we appreciate the board's policy requiring station managers to have their names on their uniforms. These men and women are frontline WMATA representatives. These are people that most riders are the only people that they really deal with face to face. And it's helpful
even with a friendly face, to know who you're speaking with. I think regarding the station managers, there was a report put out by Metro in August on the station manager operation. I found out about it because there was an article in the Post at the end of September on that report. I think it was a useful report. I'm speaking for myself. One of my concerns has always been station managers' presence in the system. There is a requirement that station managers be out of their kiosk during a rush hour. And I think that requirement is probably, in reality, enforced unevenly. And I would love to see station managers always out of their kiosk, of course, except in an emergency, during rush hour, because people need to see them. They need to be able to access them. And the kiosk is kind of intimidating. It's like a bunk. I think the kiosk is sort of like a bunker. But they ought to be out all the time. I'm sure many of them are. But I also know, anecdotally, as the weather gets colder, we will probably see fewer station managers out of their kiosk at rush hour. I think the other point in terms of customer relations, and this is something that our customer service committee is working on, is improving communication. The communications that are announced on the trains and on the platforms. It's always been an issue, I think, for riders, both in terms of clarity, can you hear the announcement? And secondly, is the announcement giving people enough information? I think the riders want to know when there's a delay on the system, why is there a delay, best guess on how long the delay is going to be, so they can make some plans. But those are a couple of my comments on customer service.
Anything further? Mr. Fogel, thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is a report by the chair. So good morning. And first, I'm pleased to report that the Federal Transit Administration has closed all corrective actions related to the 2014 Financial Management Oversight Report. And as all of us know, this is a significant accomplishment, demonstrates the progress we're making. We've worked on this for many years to try and get this done, and it is now done. And along the same lines, WMATA has delivered its external audit on time. It's a clean audit. And as you know, the clean external audit provides independent assurance that management has in its financial statements presented a true and fair view of an organization's financial performance and position. This rigorous audit process has also identified areas where management can improve their controls or processes, further enhancing the quality of business processes. So on behalf of the board, I want to extend congratulations to our general manager, Paul, to Dennis, and our whole management team for these major milestones in Metro's reform. And personally, I want to take this opportunity to thank Jim, Kathy Porter, Tony Acosta, Corbett Price, who are members of the audit committee, for working diligently and hard to get our second clean on-time audit. So thank you all, and thank you for the board for making this happen. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I would also like to thank the IG's office who is ultimately responsible, yes, for the audit being done, and for those individuals who kept the process along, because the one thing that I'm not sure if you mentioned or not, but it's the second year on time, right, audit, and that is critical for our organization. So, Jeff, thank you to you and your team as well.
Yeah. If it's any historical perspective, in 1999, the District of Columbia produced its first on-time audit in several years. And, you know, when time goes on and you hang around long enough, we've celebrated our, 15th or something clean audit, almost 20th audit on time. So it is an achievement, because I remember in the district when it never happened. And here at Metro, thank you all. Okay, finally, Metro enters its budget season. That's where we are now, where the general manager will submit his formal capital and operating budget proposal at the Finance Committee meeting on November 2nd, so you'll get it probably right before then. And as you know, this is going to be a very challenging year, as every year is a very challenging year. So as we begin budget outreach, there will be numerous opportunities for public input into the budget proposals. Similar to last year, we will hold budget-focused events, including station pop-ups and a public hearing. We will also conduct a survey, take written testimony via email, and in essence, try and get as much input as we can from the public and other interested parties. And I certainly encourage everyone to participate and be engaged in this whole process. This will be a very, very challenging year for us. That concludes my report. Any questions anybody have? Okay, I'll recognize the general manager, Mr. Wiedefeld.
Good afternoon. I'll be very brief, just hit on real quickly on safety, service reliability, and fiscal management. Last week, Chairman Evans, Chief Pavlik, and Assistant General Manager of Bus Service, Bob Potts, testified at the D.C. Council hearing on our safety concerns, particularly on employee assaults, which we heard quite a bit of this morning. As we learned from Mr. Woodley earlier today, assaults on our employees are obviously a very serious concern, not only for our employees, but for our customers and the public in general. I wanted to thank the chairman personally for his leadership in this matter. He's been very strong in pursuing this at the local level, and we'll continue to work with him and anyone else that wants to address that issue. In terms of customer service, this gets a little bit to Mr. Bolger's question that he just had. One of the biggest things that we ask our ask from our customers and what they ask from us is reliable service. So we have been making strides in that area, and the metrics that is of most interest to me is the tap in, tap out of the customer. And what we're seeing is in August, 89% of the riders were on time. In effect, the amount of time they expected to go through the system, they hit 89% of the time. September, it was near that at 87.5, and in the first 3 weeks of October, we're at 88.2%. So that, to me, that's the real metric for our customer that we have to continue to focus on. So I encourage everyone to sign up for the My Trip Time, because the larger that database, the better it is for all of us. And it also provides, they can monitor their own trip and see what is going on. I also wanted to comment on the service liability that and the service that we provided for some of the major events, because that's also part of our role, clearly, in the community. So for the marathon, the Marine Corps Marathon that just transpired last week, the performance was excellent. We were there very early in the morning, moved over 24,000 people, used the service that morning to start the race, and there are people viewing the race, and that went very well. And I also wanted to thank our employees for the Nats game. That was a situation we obviously would much prefer to have more notice of when we are going to offer additional service, but we moved very quickly, and I thank the mayor and the district for coming up with the dollars to do that. So our employees came to work that morning. I think they were leaving 11:30, most of them. And some of them were here much, much longer than that. So I think it does reflect the commitment of our employees, the frontline employees, to do the work, and obviously the management as well. So I just wanted to thank them and recognize them for that. And then on the financial management, again, I won't go too far, but clearly this is a milestone for the two things that we have accomplished. One is the audit, both obviously on assignment and its cleanliness, but the other is the echo, the elimination of that extra echo restriction. A lot of effort by a lot of people. We mentioned that one that was not mentioned besides Dennis and my staff and Latoya Thomas is Tom Webster, who also does a fantastic job. He did a fantastic job, particularly on the echo portion of this equation. And I also wanted to thank Jim Corcoran, obviously, for his leadership on the committee. So with that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the general manager? No, Paul, I have one question.
Yes, sir.
On the late night and early morning service, the extra hour, people paid $100,000 for it and then were reimbursed. And I was wondering, do you have those numbers yet on the baseball game and on the Marine Corps Marathon?
Yeah, it's about, just ballpark, it's about 20% recovery on the Nats game. It was around 40%, I believe, on the marathon.
Marathon, okay. And were that for 1 hour?
No, one was for 2 hours, one was
the
for
marathon
one
was 2 hours.
And the Army race was also 2 hours.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay, and next item on the agenda is a report by the Governance Committee and Mr. Price.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. the following action was referred to the board at the July 13th meeting of the Governance Committee. approval of revisions of the board's bylaws. The committee approved changes to the board's bylaws to align the bylaws with the board's strategic priorities for FY 2018 and beyond, and to promote board efficiency and effectiveness. These change revisions of the board's standing committees. While the board did not take up this in July, in this July meeting, they are before us now for consideration. In order to begin the discussion, I would like to move approval of the bylaws as approved by the Governance Committee with the following changes. To maintain the position of the board's second vice chair, to state that the executive committee shall include the board chair, first vice chair, second vice chair, and such additional members so that the executive committee includes at least one voting member by each of the signatories and the federal government. The next item, we are proposing to remove the reference and a resolution to aligning the terms of the board officers and committee chairs with WMATA's fiscal year. Finally, in order to give the staff time to prepare materials for these meetings, I would propose that these changes be effective within 30 days. Mr. Chair, at this time, I would like to move this motion, please.
Okay, a motion's been made. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions?
Yes.
Okay, Keturah abstains. Okay, the ayes have it. Anything further, Mr. Price?
I'd just like to thank the board for approving these board modifications. I do believe it'll make us much more efficient and effective as we carry out our duties and in terms of serving here on this board and supporting WMATA.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Price. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the committee assignments vote. Now that our bylaws have been amended to reorganize our committee structure to align with the 18 priorities. We need to vote on new committee assignments. Therefore, I move the new list of committee assignments that was included in your board packet. Is there a second? Motion has been made and second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions?
Yes.
Okay. The ayes have it. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the report by the Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee, Mr. McMillan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The following two items were referred to the board at the October 12th meeting of the Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee. The first item, authorization for public hearings on changes to metro facilities related to the Purple Line. Staff sought approval to hold a public hearing and conduct associated outreach regarding changes to metro rail facilities, including new entrances at Silver Spring and Bethesda, and the elimination of parking spaces and the potential for replacement parking at New Carrollton. Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Motion's been made. Is there a second? Second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? The ayes have it. Mr. McMinn?
I can.
Yes, she didn't. She must have said aye. Keturah, you said aye, right?
Aye,
yes. Okay. Mr. McMillan?
Yes, the second item is the question of transfer of WMATA property for the Purple Line. The state of Maryland is seeking board approval for the transfer of WMATA property by permanent easement at the New Carrollton, College Park, and Silver Spring stations for construction, operations, and maintenance of the Purple Line. Board approval is required for conveyances in excess of $1 million. The committee supported the transfer subject to management negotiating fair compensation from Maryland for transfers of revenue-generating properties and transfers affecting joint development. At the committee, there were differences of opinion on the Maryland proposal and whether it represented fair compensation, generating several requests for additional information and data. Staff has provided answers to the questions posed by the committee, and the state of Maryland has provided additional information to the board in support of their proposal. My understanding is that management is satisfied that the proposal outlined in the new draft resolution circulated to the board constitutes fair compensation to WMATA for the transfers. That is the question before the board today. In interest of allowing the board to resolve this question promptly, Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the resolution.
Motion's been made. Is there a second? Second. Any discussion? Yes.
I would just like to make a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Very brief, I assure you. I know it's been riveting theater, and coverage of this issue is centered around threats of vetoes and calls for resignations and disbanding of the board, but I think it's important to just highlight what I think is the good work of this board on this issue, which has not been adequately covered from my perspective. You know, as Mr. McMillan said, the board was asked to really reconsider its policy as to whether or not to seek fair compensation, fair cash compensation for joint development projects. And I think it was certainly appropriate and necessary that this board engaged in a rigorous questioning last month to determine whether or not that was merited by this proposal. As fiduciaries to WMATA, that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And it should be noted that the action produced further dialogue, which produced analysis that has been made public as a result of our activities this month, that show that there are substantial non-cash benefits to WMATA, and management has asserted that those meet fair consideration. So for my purposes, from my perspective, I think the board engaged in exactly the kind of work that it ought to. It should very much meet the critics who don't believe that this organization acts in the best interests of WMATA, and I'm happy that we're moving forward. I'm happy that we've had the analysis. But I do want to just state for the record that this board has nothing to be ashamed of with its conversations in getting a full airing and discussion of what we were being asked to reconsider and the value and the benefits that the Purple Line Project offers all of us.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. All right, next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Okay, we have two items on the board's consent agenda today. I'd like to move approval of the following items. The FDA parking at White Flint Garage, staff is seeking approval for a one-year renewal of a one-year lease agreement with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration of 150 parking spaces at the White Flint Metro Rail parking garage. Staff is also seeking GM CEO authority to exercise future renewals pursuant to terms of the agreement. And the other item, acceptance of DHS grant for security projects. Staff request board approval to accept a $1.75 million grant from the Department of Homeland Security. This grant would support training and security planning exercises as well as regional public awareness campaigns. So I'd like to move both of these at this time. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, we'll move on to reports of the jurisdictions. From the District of Columbia, I have no report. From, I don't have my thing in front of me. Maryland?
No report.
No report. Virginia?
No report.
Federal government? No report. Okay. Seeing nothing else to come before the board, the meeting's adjourned. Hold on. Wait before everybody leaves. Sorry about that. Request for executive session. In accordance with the bylaws, I, Jack Evans, request that the Board of Directors convene an executive session to discuss the following matters pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsection B, budgetary matters that may affect legal positions, WMATA contracts, or sensitive relationships with local jurisdictions or the federal government, and C, personal or personnel or labor issues, including discussion of labor contracts and labor negotiations, consideration or interviews of candidates for employment, and the assignment, appointment, promotion, performance, demotion, or resignation of individuals. I'd like to move this request. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll see everybody upstairs.
Here's some Q&A.